Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 4604.
Can you identify a person who has had a significant influence on your life and explain what that influence was?
Sure. That's easy. That'd be my mother. She did the bulk of raising my sister and I, and she always did the right thing, exercised good judgment, and cared for us and was willing to make sacrifices so that we could have the things we needed, and she just kind of provided that framework for empathy and for being kind and caring and hardworking.
What do you aspire to be?
Ultimately, a good person who contributes to society. So whatever work direction that may take me, I would like to be able to use my income and my leverage and things like that to be a philanthropist in some sense, to be able to give back to society, donate to causes that I care about. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be changed throughout the world, and I would like to just be able to contribute efforts towards that.
How would you describe yourself as a human being?
Well, I think I'm curious about a lot of things. I read a lot. I pay attention to little tidbits and facts about any number of different subjects, and I think that's that curiosity has led me to become fairly educated and to have a very well-rounded worldview, be able to put together concepts and just really be insightful and to kind of see subtleties in life and you know, not just see things in black and white so much.
Describe the world you come from and how that world has shaped who you are.
Well, the world that I come from has been, you know, just an extension of my family life. My sisters, my aunts and uncles, my mother and father, and my grandparents all share the same sort of inquisitive outlook towards life, and they all have the same sort of values, which are, you know, treat other people the way you would like to be treated. Aspire to great things for yourself, and above all, be kind and considerate, and do the right thing, even when it's challenging, and that'll pay off in the end.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
I think one thing that sets me apart is, like I had mentioned before, my ability to kind of piece together little tidbits of information about the world from a variety of different cues, you know, from books, from my education, media, from other people, and really be able to put together a greater sort of intertwining concept about the world and how it works. I think I can be very insightful with very limited information.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
I go back to this. One of my favorite words, empathy, because it's important to be able to see things that don't necessarily directly provide an advantage to you, and be able to, you know, understand where other people are coming from. You know, not just to, you know, be a functional, positive member of society, but because, you know, you could end up in a situation less fortunate someday, and you'll have the tools to understand what that feels like and to be able to get through that.
Can you describe a quality that you like best about yourself and one that you like least?
Yeah, I find myself pretty intelligent, and I'm insightful. I am curious, those sort of things. I really am fascinated by the world, and it keeps me positive. I guess the thing that I would like the least, and I'm sure a lot of people just say this, is not being overwhelmed by what other people think, or caring too much what other people think about you, your actions, or your look, or whatever. And just being able to kind of shed that and just live your life for yourself. I would like to see myself improve in that area, I suppose.
Okay. Kind of a similar question. What quality would you most like to see flourish, and which would you like to see wither?
Yeah, they do seem similar. I would add, I guess, something that I would like to see flourish, a lot of things, but I would like to see my creative side flourish a little bit more. You know, I have good appreciation and understanding of music and arts and things like that. I really enjoy that, but I haven't really catered to those talents since I was very young, and I would like to get back into, you know, expressing myself artistically a little bit more. As far as what I would like to see wither, I guess that does go back to the previous question, and not really feeling like I need to fulfill society's expectations for my life, and really just kind of grab onto the things that I care about and that interest me, and see those things flourish.
Okay. What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
Well, going back to my mother and, you know, my father as well, the sense of sacrifice of you know, being able to prolong things or put off things that may be a direct benefit to me, and you know, do the hard things and put in the hard work for others around me. That's just kind of been one of the unifying things about my family growing up, is everyone is there for everyone else. Everyone, you know, puts others before themselves.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
We like to do pretty normal stuff. Like on Christmas, we just have always gone and saw a movie, like after dinner and everything was over. Travel. My mom and I just took a trip to San Francisco and Napa Valley a little while ago, and that was fun. Just normal family stuff.
Okay. Can you tell me about the most cherished present you have ever received for a birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special to you?
I've had a lot of good Christmas, you know, gifts, objects and things like that, and birthday gifts, but the most memorable, my dad took me to Europe, which was actually the second time I was there, but my dad took me for my 21st birthday when I was in college, and it was the first time we really got to hang out as, you know, like pals, and we saw a lot of fun stuff. We went to Germany and Amsterdam, and saw some great museums, had a great time, met cool people, just had a lot of fun, and it was, you know, it was important to me for my dad to, you know, want to go through that. All that to, you know, make me have a memorable birthday.
Okay. Can you tell me about some activities you enjoyed in childhood?
I was always into sports. I was constantly playing sports. From the age of about 5 to all the way through high school, I was playing football, baseball, soccer, and hockey year-round. So that kept me pretty busy. In the meantime, we went to summer camp every year and did summer campy activities there, you know, a lot of other kids stuff. I took, you know, went to science fairs. I was really academic. I really just enjoyed, you know, being the best at whatever I was doing, whether it was sports or academics or, you know, different leadership organizations in school. So that was what I enjoyed.
What is your favorite book, and what types of books do you enjoy?
A lot of favorite books, but the one that I think kept me captivated the whole time, the writing style, the theme, it was just fascinating, was Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky. My grandpa taught me about Dostoevsky. He's a professor of English studies, and he got me into that when I was very, very young. So I always enjoyed the Russian classics. And for the most part, the books I read are the classics, you know, classic European literature.
Okay. What is your favorite word and why?
I like the word fortuitous, among other words, but it's, you know, just the meaning itself. You know, it means fortunate, lucky, happening by circumstance. So it kind of invokes the imagination a little bit, and it's a positive word, and it sounds a little cultured, so it's always fun to throw in a conversation when you can.
What was the last book you read, movie you saw, and sporting event you attended?
I read just a short book last week, something I've been meaning to read for a while. It was The Stranger by Albert Camus, and it was a fun little story, that's all. Good writing style, and glad I read it. just yesterday, I saw Sherlock Holmes, the second one, and not even having seen the first one, it was pretty good. Enjoyed that. And I was visiting friends in Chicago a while back, and I went to a Cubs game. Went to my first Cubs game, and that was fun. Going to Wrigley Field.
What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies?
For fun, I read. I like to play with music. I have a friend who has a little music studio, and I like to play around with things. And I like to listen to music. I like to watch movies. I like to read as much as possible. I like to get out and exercise and play sports, you know, touch football or pick up basketball or mixed martial arts. I'm really into mixed martial arts as well. So I stay pretty busy with hobbies.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Yes, no one ever tells me that anymore, and it has been rare, but the few people, not even related, totally separate comments, separate times in my life that have ever compared me to a celebrity, it's been Ben Affleck for some reason. I guess it's the hair or the, I don't know, the plain sort of all-American look, I don't know.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, or risk you've taken, and tell me how you faced it and its impact on you.
Well, I chose a significant experience, and that was going through basic training and advanced training while I was in Army ROTC, while I was in college, and ROTC consumed a lot of my time, and something I didn't know a lot about. I didn't know a lot about military service at all, but I wanted a challenge, and I wanted, you know, the physical aspects of it, and I just wanted to prove myself among my peers. And in the two separate basic training sessions that I had, there was a lot of very challenging things, you know, physically, mentally, and completing those basic training and then the advanced training and graduating from the program or becoming eligible to graduate anyway was very rewarding. It showed that I could overcome those fears and challenges.
Choose a prominent person, living, deceased, or fictional, who you would like to interview and explain why.
There's a lot of people that I am fascinated by throughout history anyway, but I think one of the most eccentric characters and brilliant mind, just a phenomenal writer, was Franz Kafka, the Czech writer, the 19th century Czech author. And just his short stories are witty and kind of sinister at the same time, and way before their time. Just brilliant little tidbits, and everything I've read of his I've enjoyed from cover to cover. I would like to pick his brain for an afternoon. Over a beer somewhere in Prague.
That'd be interesting. First experiences can be defining. Can you cite a first experience that you've had and explain its impact on you?
Well, a lot of experiences were firsts. One of the more memorable sort of life-shaping experiences I had as a kid was going off to summer camp, especially for the first time, because I was very young. I was in first grade, and hadn't really been away from home for more than a couple days, especially without parents or family, and it was scary at first, and then, you know, by the time camp was over for the first summer, I had made tons of friends, I had had lots of adventures, done some great things, you know, rock climbing, camping, canoeing, you name it, and really gained a sense of independence and sort of, you know, the things that would kind of shape my interests throughout my life.
Can you recall an occasion when you took a risk that you now know was the right thing to do?
Yes, going back to the ROTC question, I had the option of leaving Army ROTC when I was graduating college and actually not, you know, becoming a actually active duty and going to serve. So I had the option of paying back my scholarship and declining my commission, and I'm really glad I did that. At the time, there was some things going on foreign policy-wise I didn't really agree with, but also it just it seemed really constricting to me, and I just didn't think that the lifestyle of, you know, being told where I was going to live and, you know, how I was going to live my life and spend my day was going to be for me, and it turns out that was the right decision for me.
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, mathematical theory, or piece of literature that has surprised, unsettled, or challenged you? And all, in what way?
All of the above, definitely. Works of art, you know, I've been to the Louvre in Paris, I've been to the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, you know, the Uffizi in Florence. I've seen some great works of art, and they all challenge me in one way or another. But particularly, well, in music as well. There was one particular song by Radiohead called Kid A, which is just a lot of kind of noises, but they're harmonic, and it doesn't really follow the normal sequence of a typical rock song or any really formula for a song, and it kind of is abstract music, and that really got me thinking differently about music and you know, what really constitutes music and what constitutes art and how they're different. Then also, as far as the scientific phenomenon, I'm really fascinated by origins, by human origins, and by you know, universal origins. So I'm really into astrophysics and deep space, just the wonder of the universe, and you know, the building blocks that, you know, created the smallest living organisms on Earth to the biggest and most complex, and what they all have in common. The first time I got into you know, natural sciences, that really opened my eyes and challenged what I thought about the world and what other people thought around me, and really made an impression on me.
Have you experienced a moment of epiphany, as if your eyes were open to something you were previously blind to? And please describe that moment for me.
Yeah, kind of elaborating on the last question, actually. It was the first time, I guess, in junior high, when I was very, very young, that I started really getting into natural sciences. You know, first it was geology, just, you know, looking at rocks and minerals, but then all elements of natural science really kind of opened the world up to me and allowed me to see the complexities of things in our ordinary life and really appreciate them. So at a young age, that opportunity to really kind of develop my interest in natural science was very eye-opening.
Of everything in the world, what would you like to be doing most right now?
There's a lot of fun things someone could do. Some of them may not be worth mentioning, may not be appropriate to mention at the time, but just simple things. I really enjoy just an afternoon, you know, a nice instance where I'm at, and, you know, I could think of a couple things, but something like sitting on a alpine chateau somewhere in Switzerland or Germany, sipping a nice fortified schnapps, you know, with some good friends and good conversation, maybe smoking a pipe. I think that would be a lot of fun right now.
Where would you like to be the most?
You know, something kind of elaborating on the last question, there's a lot of places, you know, it's just the perfect time, the perfect setting, you know, the perfect song, things like that, that would all just kind of come together sort of out of nowhere. Can't really plan, I guess, you know, like I said before. Or even I would like to just kind of peacefully drift down a river somewhere in Southeast Asia on a little reed raft, and, you know, out of Saigon, and just kind of, you know, drift into the countryside, and sort of that careless meandering feeling that would bring a lot of peace.
Who would you prefer to be with at this moment?
I always just prefer to be around good friends. You know, I have friends from different walks of life, and they all appeal to me in one way or another. You know, we all have something in common, you know, some shared experience or some understanding. So I always want to be around, you know, my friends, people that understand me, people that I can share an inside joke with, you know, regardless of what I was doing. That's the company I like to keep.
What is your approach to life?
It's fairly pragmatic. I would describe my approach as pragmatic. I like to really discover the actual hard facts of events and circumstances, things that I might be endeavoring upon, before I make, you know, any decisions, before I act. I like to be educated on all the different possibilities, as much as possible, on what I'm getting into, and, you know, the plan communication and just being open-minded are those my fundamental approaches to my life decisions.
What was the most difficult time in your life? How did you overcome the difficulties you faced, and did your perspective on life change as a result of the difficulty?
For a period of time, after when I was ready to graduate college, basically my last semester, I was living with a girlfriend at the time, and you know, it was a college romance, whatever. We broke up. We were still living together, and I just kind of got lost a little bit. I stopped going to class for a while. I actually dropped out for a semester, and you know, I kind of lost sight of the things that I had set about for myself in my life, and you know, what the circumstances, like, you know, some transient passing little breakup, you know, with some person at the time, let that affect other more important things. And after I was able to reflect and, you know, kind of reprioritize my life, I was able to, you know, put the important things back in focus and complete what I had set out to do. So, you know, overcoming the messiness of the situation and graduating college and really, like I said, doing what I had set out to do.
Describe your most rewarding experience.
I decided I wanted to play hockey growing up. Where I was at, hockey was not a very popular sport, and I actually moved to an area where it was significantly more popular, and kids were playing it in high school, and I just became obsessed with hockey, and even though I had no formal training, you know, barely rollerbladed. But I decided I was going to teach myself how to play hockey goalie. Just seemed like a lot of fun, and I watched a lot of educational videos, and I actually, you know, just started hanging around the rink and met people that, you know, could teach me a thing or two, and I basically picked it up on my own. Within a year of learning to play, I was competing with kids who had been playing since they were toddlers, and I actually made the varsity ice hockey team in my school. And then, like I said, in an area that it was a hotbed for hockey. So in a short period of time, I taught myself how to play, and I did very well, and I was recognized for it.
Nice. Did you have a favorite board game when you were a kid?
A lot. We played a lot, especially at my grandma's. We played Sorry, and we played Clue, but she was an attorney. She's a judge, actually, so it really wasn't that fair. My favorite was Risk, because it obviously the board game is a map of the world, which is cool enough, and then you get to just conquer pieces here and there and outwit people, and you know, it's on a grand scale. It's strategy. It's educational, and the games could last a week. So I thought it was a lot of fun. That was my favorite.
Who is your favorite actor?
I don't have a lot of favorite actors. I kind of, you know, they're just people to me. I have a lot more favorite directors. But on that note, one who kind of straddles both is Orson Welles. I think as a director, he was able to provide the insight into his acting, and it really, it was phenomenal. Citizen Kane, his acting in that movie is obviously very well recognized. But, you know, actors, any actor who directs, Clint Eastwood would be another one. I really appreciate the artistic background that they put into their acting instead of just memorizing lines.
What is your favorite dinner?
Favorite meal, period, is sushi, absolutely. Very high quality, high grade sushi. Any time of day, really. But that would definitely be my last meal. Just gorge myself on sashimi.
What is the craziest thing you have ever done?
Well, in ROTC, I went through airborne training at Fort Benning, Georgia, as part of the program. It's actually an advanced element of the program, but as part of airborne training, obviously, we were jumping out of planes. So the final week after, you know, the initial 3 weeks of just training and exercise and things like that, we actually had 5 jumps with a static line. And one of the jumps was at night, which was really cool, the last one. So all you could see as you're falling to Earth, basically, is a few tiny little chem lights. And just an amazing experience.
What is the first thing you do in the morning?
Yawn, stretch, look for a way that I can go back to sleep for a little while, find out what I have to do. No, but I take a vitamin, stretch, check my email.
All the normal things.
Yeah, just try and get myself prepared for the day, get my energy going.
What is something you wish you could do but you can't?
Play professional sports or be a rock star. It was kind of kid answers, but no, I was really, really into sports in high school. And I was very, you know, widely recognized. And unfortunately, I had a couple injury setbacks, but if I could do anything whatsoever, it'd be playing a sport professionally. That would be amazing.
What do you do as your line of work?
I do two things, actually, but full-time, I work for a company that does repairs on smartphones, iPhones, iPods, so electronic repair and restoration. And then I'm also into hospitality, so I've had a part-time job as an administrator for a country club, for other country clubs as well, for different restaurants. But currently, I help host banquets and do catering and wedding setups and things like that, with the hopes of really getting deeper into hospitality and eventually opening my own restaurant someday. That's exactly where I want that to go.
Okay. What do you find most interesting about your work?
It's entertainment. You know, I'm going to refer to the hospitality aspect because that's really where I'm driving towards. I love food. I love wine, small talk, good shared experiences. So it doesn't really seem like work, you know, if you're really putting on a nice experience for people who are dining or, you know, just hanging out. So it's rewarding to see people having fun.
If you had to choose a different career, what would that be? Why would you choose a different career?
Well, I would have to go back and get an advanced graduate degree, but I would definitely like to be an instructor in some sort of scientific field. I had an awesome professor in human anthropology. He actually discovered the fossil remains in Africa. That's a hominid species. But that was a fascinating class, and he reminds me of an Indiana Jones. So I think that would be the coolest career, travel the world and just uncover mysteries and archaeology and anthropology and things like that. I'm also into sociology and astronomy, so being a professor of science.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what do you see yourself doing?
I would like to be owning and operating a restaurant and really just kind of making that my primary occupation and having control over things and really being able to put on a good show. I would be dating, but not married. It's not really the direction I plan on going, I don't think. You know, just hanging out with friends and really having the freedom to kind of travel in particular and do things, not the cliche travel, but, you know, actually, you know, maybe relocate to places for a period of time, like really immerse in the culture and live there, learn to speak the languages. Really just kind of would like to have the freedom to nurture my learning, my thirst for learning and education.
Can you tell me what you would consider a romantic evening?
Sure. It's very simple, but I think, you know, the romance comes in when two people find out they have a lot in common and they can make a whole conversation, a whole diatribe about, you know, the smallest mundane pedestrian little thing that happened in their life. And, you know, maybe that happens over a walk or a dinner, you know, the cliche things, good wine. Basically just a serendipitous sort of evening where things just come together nicely. That would be perfect. Does that really happen all the time? I don't know. But
every once in a while, I think.
It's possible.
What qualities do you look for in a potential mate?
Same things I've kind of grown up with. Definitely my family materialistic. I really, that's very unattractive to me. You know, living within your means and really prioritizing things differently than, you know, just your status symbols. Intelligence. I have to be intelligent. It's not just, you know, the ability to understand things, but the interest and the passion to further that. And someone, you know, who gets excited by, you know, great developments in the world and in science and culture and things like that. Someone also has to be very creative. They have to be able to do something to wow me. You know, I don't care if it's a finger painting, but, you know, just something that you take pride in that you create with your hands or with your mind.
Okay. What is the nicest thing you could do for your significant other?
Just sacrifice in general. You know, whatever that comes down to, just putting their needs before yours. And, you know, even if you don't understand something, you know, why that person needs or wants something from you or from the world, you know, that's not important. Just being able to give up what you need and to put yourself aside and put yourself out, you know, that's the best thing you can do for anyone else.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
There's, in our society today, there's so many different versions of what a family is. And despite what people think, you know, the traditional standard is, I don't think that always produces the best results in people. It's certainly not formulaic like that. So I think that people who put together, you know, the resources and put the time and consideration into trying to conceive a family and, you know, really have all the right things in place to do that, they're going to end up producing the most well-adjusted people in the world. And I don't think that the traditional family has anything to do with that necessarily. So to help people, and to really create a better adjusted generation of future people on Earth.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
Sure. Well, for recipients, I would say, you got a good deal with me. But for offspring, despite how confusing or challenging, or how abnormal or whatever, flack you would get for, your non-traditional upbringing, just know that, you were conceived purposefully and with love and brought into the world to really be nurtured and afforded the best environment to grow up in. Parents love you.
All right.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 4604.